I know that I often sound like someone who would rather live in a previous century, but you know, there is something wonderful and amazing about living in today's world. Modern medical science has made it possible for people to live longer and healthier lives than ever before. And if it weren't for modern medicine, I would already have died about 1,000 times. In 1651, the English philosopher Thomas Hobbes wrote in his book Leviathan that life is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. And many people throughout history, and even today, experience life like that. A more superstitious age often thought that people who were sick were obviously cursed by the gods, or even the true God himself. The inability to protect society against infectious diseases meant that society often quarantined the sick into a miserable end to their time on earth. And it's not unreasonable to assume that so many people have died of despair because they felt that they were not just sick, but hated by heaven itself. Thank God we live in a better time when it comes to all that. But you know, I'm not quite sure that better time would ever have come had it not been for Jesus. The Judaism of the Old Testament, like many other traditional religions, even today, was marked by a number of taboos against physical touch with impurities that arose from sick people and certain kinds of food. Many anthropologists argue that religious disciplines that seem ridiculous to both Christians and secular people today were often rooted in a very real need to protect a community from public health catastrophes. So when Jesus comes on the scene, one of his most revolutionary characteristics is that he does not refrain from laying hands on and touching the sick. The same God who had given those complex laws in the book of Leviticus to ostensibly protect the community saw the scholars of his law misinterpret them to exclude the sick from salvation itself. And so he came in the flesh to show that flesh can be healed and redeemed. In Ezekiel, the Lord speaks, "If I tell the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you did not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you shall save yourself." It's a reminder that sickness and death did enter the world through the sin of our first parents. And even the death of Jesus, which frees us from everlasting death if we accept it in saving faith, doesn't keep us from one day falling asleep, becoming food for worms, and having our souls and bodies in separate places before Jesus at the end of time raises our mortal bodies and reunites them with our souls. It's almost as if we need the threat of death to learn how to live. The fear of hell isn't the best way to go to heaven, but for some of us, it might be all we can muster in this valley of tears. Our own age, though, in its vanity and overinflated sense of self-sufficiency, tries to pretend that death isn't real, or that it is a sign that God either doesn't exist, or that if he does, he's just plain cruel. We don't want to accept that we're not designed to live forever in this world, which is not our true home. And so serious illness can really mess with our sense of self and our sense of God. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus himself still seems to make this connection between sin and sickness, recalling the original drama of humanity. But he also shows that divine power can overcome sickness and sin. And where sin is remitted, health is restored. Even if it's not earthly bodily health, but the health of the soul. Now, sometimes it's hard to identify with absolute specificity, but in the Gospels, Jesus heals about 15 people from illness, like paralysis or leprosy. He frees 6 or 7, depending on how you read the text, from demonic possession, and raises 3 people from the dead. Yet, certainly, there were more than 15 sick people, 7 possessed people, and 3 dead people who probably wanted Jesus' healing touch. Was it just that their faith was so much stronger than ours? Did Jesus just love them more than my sick or dying loved one? Or should we just seek refuge in the inscrutable providence of the author of life and just abandon ourselves to his will? Millions of people every year go on pilgrimage to places like Lourdes and light candles and pray rosaries and see real healings as well. And then others do all the same things with even more faith and love in God. And their healing doesn't look quite the same. Yet Jesus is truly health. He is truly the restorer of life. But we have to let go of worldly human attachments to the things of the flesh to see past the illness we see to the glory we don't yet see. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Today, we need to follow the way by observing the commandments and avoiding those things which the natural and divine law have identified as not good for us. Today, we need to put aside our feelings and our perceptions and our idols of how we want this world to look like and embrace the truth, which reveals the inner nature of reality. Today, we need to stop living like this world is our true home and live for God and God alone. Because that's going to be the only way one day that we can look up at the crucifix from our bed of pain and feel the suffering, know the absence, and still kiss the wounds of Jesus and know that all will be well. And in the meantime, we do everything that we can to alleviate the sufferings of Jesus in our Lord's the sick, where those Jesus pulls close enough to kiss in suffering can know the consolation of the Lord who cried, "I thirst," to be met with the choice wines and refreshing water of heaven.